Hey everyone, welcome back to In Her Wallet podcast, a weekly show helping women around the world take control of their finances for good and build better financial futures one episode at a time. My name is Sophia. I'm the host and creator of In Her Wallet podcast and an accredited investment representative here in Canada. My guest this week is Lindsay Sparrow. She's a senior investment advisor at Wellington Altus Private Wealth, but she's just not another investment advisor. Throughout this conversation, you guys, I'm sure you will fall in love with Lindsay because she's someone that wears her heart on her sleeve. She's all about integrity. She's all about being fair, especially being fair towards women and our financial well-being and health. We are talking, as you can tell from the episode title, about the unpaid household work that women tend to do more of at home. I mean, I think it's not often talked about, this topic. And the reason why I want to bring up this conversation to the In Her Wallet podcast is because when you try to quantify the household work that we do, the invisible work that we do at home, you realize, coupled with the fact that in Canada, women earn 88 cents for every dollar men earn, you realize that it can actually have long-term consequences on our career potential, on our earning capabilities, on our investments, and so much more. Because Lindsay has a mix of cool designations, such as a certified financial planner, such as a certified divorce financial analyst, she's also getting her PhD right now. So she brings all this unique knowledge to the table with regards to women and the unique challenges we face when it comes to our finances. So this conversation is definitely for anyone who recognizes themselves in this position. I think we all do. We all do household work at home. But this conversation is all about getting on the same page, either with your partner or if you're single, about how you value your time. If you want to change anything, how do you approach that conversation, especially if you're in a relationship with a partner who is okay and comfortable with the way things are at home right now, but helping them realize how that affects your long-term potential. Before we dive into this conversation, if you feel like In Her Wallet podcast brings you any value at all, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. If you feel like we have earned it, you can do it on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. It can be anything. If you decide to do the written review, you can tell us the guests you want to see, the questions you want answered, the topics you want to have covered, or maybe give us feedback about past episodes you listen to. Honestly, all of this helps us grow, helps us reach new audiences, more women who want to get on path to financial success and well-being. And it also helps me show up as a better host for you. With that said, let's welcome Lindsay. Lindsay, I'm so excited to have this conversation and thank you so much for joining us at In Her Wallet podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you reaching out.
Of course. Lindsay, before we dive into our conversation, I would like to ask you 3 questions so our community can get to know you better. Tell me, what's your go-to coffee order?
So Starbucks. So I'm an espresso fan. So that's what I make in the morning. So I make my own latte since I'm by the latte. But my coffee order is a double tall iced vanilla latte with vanilla foam.
Whoever is going to try that, let us know. I'm going to be trying that. That sounds really good. If you could travel anywhere in the world right now, where would that be?
Italy. I went on a European trip about a year ago and I only spent like a few days in Italy and I loved it. So I'm going back. I'm hoping probably May. I'll go back for a good 10 days.
I'm hoping Italy is going to be in my books next year as well. So yes. And final question, what is the movie that you can rewatch again and again?
I just watched this yesterday again, Back to the Future. I can do all of them. The first one being my favorite.
Okay, fantastic. Perfect. Lindsay, for those folks who have not heard of you, who might not know who you are, can you give us a short intro as to what you do?
Yeah, for sure. So my main gig, I'm an investment advisor. I've been doing that for 20 years. So I invest people's money, make them money. I do financial planning. And then I'm also a certified divorce financial analyst where I help my clients, you know, get their 50% out of a unfortunate split that, you know, more than 50% of people experience in their lifetime. So Yeah, that's a little bit about what I do. And I actually focus my practice a lot on women. So I've been, that's just where my heart is. And so I deal with a lot of professional women. I deal with a lot of women in their 30s and 40s. And I just love getting people set up to understand what their goals are and how to achieve them.
I love that. And I think that's the main reason why I thought you would be such a perfect fit for a conversation that we're having today, because you work with women a lot, you help them get the value for the work that they put into different relationships. So what we're going to be talking about today is why a lot of women are overworked with domestic chores and how we can fix that. So the stat I found is that women are 3 times more likely to take care of the domestic work than men. Lindsay, why do you think that is?
I think there are a lot of reasons why this happens. I think first and foremost, gender norms and roles that happen within households. Just to give myself a little bit of a credential boost here. The reason we're talking about this is because I currently in my PhD studies, I'm doing a lot of research around unpaid labor. And no one really knows what that is, but unpaid labor is that work that happens where no one's actually giving you a paycheck to do it. And women do at least 3 times more than men do. And like I mentioned, gender norms is a big thing. But I also think that there's a lot that stems from, you know, there is a gender pay gap. Women make 15% less than men. And so a lot of times it defaults to the woman to take care of excess stuff that maybe isn't paid for because perhaps their spouse, their husband can go and, you know, is getting paid a bit more. And maybe that just makes more economical sense for the household.
Today, I really want to look at 2 scenarios to help our listeners paint the picture of what we're talking about. And the first scenario I want to look at is when in a household, both are working full time. However, more often than not, the woman is the one who takes on more domestic work. So how can we approach this in the relationship?
Yeah, so I think what you're, you know, clarifying is really good. You know, we are talking about a traditional marriage of a man and a woman. We know that there's many other different forms of relationships and partnerships. So total respect there. And I also like to, whenever I get into these calls, I always like to say that, you know, this isn't like a man bashing thing. This is not women against men or vice versa. It's really what I really want women to understand is, and men to understand, is when you're in a partnership, and you both have career goals, right? When we look at how men and women, or how you can look at this in a partnership, you should really be looking at, you know, what are the goals of the family, but also if women have specific career goals, what are they making per hour? Like what are you worth per hour? Because if you're spending 5 to 7 hours a day doing family chores, things like that, and maybe your husband is spending 2 hours, you know, is that taking you farther away from you reaching your goals? And then ultimately the family is not achieving their longer term goals either. So I just think this whole emotional labor, unpaid labor is a topic that we just do and we don't even realize we're doing it.
Yes. And I like that you touch based on emotional labor. Can we uncover that definition a little bit further? I think not a lot of people realize that they're actually doing that.
Yeah. So emotional labor is where, you know, women, we're more maternal, you know, naturally. And so we tend to take on a lot of those deeper conversations. We're doing the feelings conversations. And if you actually look at where women are spending their time with the children, as an example, versus men, women are doing a lot of the, you know, making the lunches, grocery shopping, whereas a lot of times the men are, you know, taking the kids to the park, doing the fun stuff, roughhousing. And so, you know, women tend, you know, if you will, the crappier end of the stick, right? In a lot of ways. And the things that, if you think about experiences for children, they're going to remember the going to the park, going to the lake. They're not necessarily going to give a lot of attention to who packed my lunch for me.
Yes. And that is kind of a sad part, right? Because there is as much value in that, if not more. So the solution in a couple like that, and thank you so much for clarifying that, you know, what I originally introduced this to be more of a traditional marriage, but we can look at, it applies to every couple. So a solution here might be to have that conversation and say, hey, let's kind of split our domestic chores half and half so we're equal. But obviously, sometimes it's easier said than done.
It is way easier said than done because there is a unconscious bias, an unconscious expectation that we put on different roles. So men take out the garbage, women do the laundry. Like, these are things that are, in my opinion, quite old school, but they still, like, these are things that are not going to end anytime soon, because we just, as a society, have gone decades and decades, generations and generations. But the reality is that there are a number of cases now where women are making more money or the same money, but those domestic chores are not changing. So they're still working and making more money than, say, their husband, but they are still carrying more of the burden and the domestic burden. And what's really happening to women, and you can see it, is there's a ton of burnout. Stress levels are very high. And the issue with long-term stress is that can go into, you know, chronic disease and longer term issues. So really important that, you know, if you're in a loving relationship and you're really wanting to make the most out of life and your partnership, this is a very important conversation. And I think it's interesting, if you start tracking your hours of domestic work, women will tend to underestimate and men will overestimate their hours. So keep that in mind.
That's so true. Probably. I've never done that, but it's probably so true. But are there any practical tips that, for example, a girl is listening right now and she really recognizes herself in the situation that we are describing? So the first step probably is to have that conversation sooner than later with your partner. Because, I mean, if you're getting into marriage and now you want to change something that you've been doing for 3 years, that probably is not going to land well. So having this conversation as soon as you kind of start moving in together to set those expectations right. What else?
Yes. So I think it is a complicated matter because we, you know, old habits die hard. And I think what happens in relationships all the time is tit for tat. I did this. No, you did that. No, I did this extra thing this week, right? That's what it turns into. And I think I love stemming from, I think first women have to decide, how much am I worth an hour? So as an example, if I'm valuing my time at $250 an hour, but I can hire a cleaner at $25 or $35 an hour, why am I not doing that? And women have this really hard time deciding to hire a cleaner because it's almost like they put a lot of value or there's something attached there that's not allowing them to give that up. But it's really around, you know, if you can make more money by having someone else do your grocery shopping, ordering your groceries online, whatever it is, these are just important things to think about. If there's something like, if you really love getting groceries, by all means, keep doing that. But as a couple, I think you can first talk about, what are our goals? What are we trying to accomplish? Maybe that's financially, traveling, what do we want for our kids? And then I think you go from there, because is it really critical that you do your own laundry? Is that going to get you to your goals? Or are there other solutions? And I think starting from a place of, what do you like doing around the house? Because there are some jobs that we are okay with and are actually maybe enjoy. And then there's other things that we just hate. So which your partner might actually really like. So I think it starts from there. No one wants to do any of this crap. Let's first say that. But it has to get done, right? We all have to, like, eventually wash our sheets and eventually grocery shop. We can't just skip the dishes forever.
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah, so that's a good starting point. Lindsay, now let's look at the second scenario where in a couple, one partner is working full-time while the other one is a stay-at-home parent. And the issue that I often come across here in couples is that the partner who is working full-time might say that the other partner who is a stay-at-home parent is not doing real work. Or, you know, they're sitting at home on the couch the whole day and, you know, how hard is it to do the laundry and prepare the meal? And it's often the woman that's in a position like that. So what would you say to a woman like that? How can we approach this conversation?
Yeah, so I think just to give it to you really straight, the reality is that we value making money. We value a paycheck over we really undervalue taking care of children. We really undervalue domestic chores. And I am not saying anything negative to anybody that you know, works in these jobs and stuff, but this is just the reality that when you're whether you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, that is going to be undervalued compared to the person that's the breadwinner or bringing home the bacon, if you will. And so I don't really know, I'm not really sure what we could really do to fix this problem.
But I think it probably starts with a conversation with your partner that, you know, again, setting those expectations straight that even if you are on maternity leave, even if you are taking those gold years of your life for now to raise your children while they are in their early years, you still want to have an equal seat at the table with your partner when you guys are deciding where to go for vacation, how to spend your discretionary spending, and so on.
Yes. And I think the bigger problem that whether, you know, it's a man or a woman at home, traditionally women will stay home with the kids because they are taking the maternity leave. They're having the baby. So there's generally time that's needed after that. And then on top of it, they're likely making in most scenarios less money than their husband. So economically, they're as a choice, you know, as a family decision, the woman will stay home. And so what women, if there's a decision that, you know, how lucky to be raised by your actual mom or dad for your first 5 years of your life, because those are critical years in any child's upbringing. But what we need to consider is if you're a woman and there is a divorce 7 or 8 or 9 years into your, you know, having your first or second child, the reality is that while your husband is building his career and making more money, you are not keeping up your skills necessarily. If you are doing some education during that time period, that could also be helpful. But I think there's a really critical conversation that a couple needs to have, and whether it be introducing a prenup or a postnup to account for those years that realistically women are not ever going to get fully compensated for.
So let's uncover that a bit more. It's a very good point. And I mentioned to you, we just actually signed a cohabitation agreement with my partner. And that's something I was really set on including. So can we give a few examples of what you mean by that? How can a woman include something in that agreement with their partner before they get married or after to make sure that she's compensated for the time that she gives away, like stopping, putting her career in pause to raise children and start a family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a number of things that can be done. I'll first say that I'm not a lawyer, but I have a lot of experience in this area because of my certified divorce financial planning designation. And what I would say is if you're thinking about it purely from a money standpoint, then literally, would there be a certain dollar amount that, you know, that should go towards you for those years that you weren't able to work so that if the marriage does end, there is money there to put towards education or to bridge the gap? If you go back to work and you're making $60,000, if there's an agreement in like a prenup or a postnup that says, you know, for those years that you're at home, you're going to get X dollars per year. Then as you can see, you can kind of offset those wages. And yes, there could be spousal support and other things like this, but there is no guarantee of these things down the road. But a prenuptial agreement, or if you're already married, you could do a postnup, and that at least will give you some layer of protection if the relationship does break down.
Yes, thank you, Lindsay, for highlighting that. Another point that we touched based on with you during our initial call is, should women continue to work from home post-COVID? And I know you have a very interesting take on that. So can we highlight that and how that might be also to the detriment of our success career-wise as women?
Yeah, so I think that there's been a huge trend, as we know, of people continuing to work from home. Women have found that obviously the saving the commute time, that gives them an extra time to do things around the house that they weren't able to. But what's really happening, and I know a lot of women relate to this, is at the time when you'd normally take your coffee break or you would take your lunch break, you are putting a load of laundry on, you're prepping dinner, you're doing these things. And then what's happening is your husband comes home from the office or from work, And these things are magically done. And then, you know, there is, then there becomes this expectation that every day these things are going to happen during the day. And what's happening is women are working into the evening. So they're picking up those hours in the evening. And then, so what's happening is it's just always work, because it's work and domestic chores. And that's going back and forth. And there's studies that are showing that women's stress levels are at 5 times the level when they work from home versus working from an office, which is really insane.
Really? And
yes.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, they're juggling too much, and then they're filling every single moment with something else that they need to be doing. And they're not actually giving themselves that break that, you know, everybody does need to really accomplish the most. And then the other thing is, there's a couple, two really interesting studies I saw. One was that even women that are the breadwinners, so they're making the most money. Now, this doesn't have to relate to working from home. I'll come back to that. But women that are making more money are still doing as much domestic chores, because they are essentially trying to make up for the fact that they are the breadwinner. So they sort of feel guilty that they're making more money than their husband, and that there's this kind of reverse thing happening. And so I think it's wild that women are literally still trying to make that up by...
Man, there is like no right thing that we... That's crazy.
Yeah. And so circling back to working from home, the other interesting thing that I came across was traditionally CEOs are traditionally men. And so men tend to hire within proximity. So if you're working from home all the time, you have to be very careful. Are you missing out on promotional opportunities? Mm-hmm. Are you missing out on the opportunity to ask for raises? Are you missing out on the best work because you are working from home? And so my advice to women who are working from home is keep yourself very visible. So don't work from home full time. Go into the office a couple times a week. Make sure you're at important meetings, social events. This is going to be very critical to making sure you're not looked over, and that you're keeping your relationship very close with whoever the decision maker is in the company that you're working for.
Great point. Thank you so much for sharing that, Lindsay. Let's go back to those two scenarios we looked at. I think the one thing that's common for both scenarios is that us women, we need to make sure that we value our time first and foremost, and we make sure that we are valued by our partner also 24/7, no matter whether we're working from the office or in a corporate job, or we're fulfilling our responsibilities at home. So what's your take on this? What's your kind of tip or a few practical advices on how women can value their time and not feel guilty for hiring perhaps a maid to help clean the home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guilt is like... That's everything women feel all the time, I feel like. Like, we are just constantly, like, we're really hard on ourselves, right? We think we should be able to do everything, and we feel very guilty about time. You know, we feel guilty not working on our business, but then we feel guilty that we spent time working on our business because then we weren't with our children. We feel guilty because our husband's socks aren't folded, like, blah, blah, blah. This is what we do as women. And I think important to point out that, you know, it's not all about how much money you make. It's probably way more critical you find something you really enjoy doing, because I believe money will follow if you find something you really, really love. But, you know, making money does matter also, right? And you need to protect yourself from the case of, you know, an unfortunate divorce, or even like, you know, if your spouse passes away. These are all real scenarios that unfortunately I see all the time. And so it's important that you make sure to value your time. And if you truly put a number on what your time is worth, give yourself permission and set up, just say, you know, by this time in 4 weeks, I will have somebody cleaning 2 hours a day. And I think you've got to really break down what, you know, if you know what your goals are, you have to go step by step and what's going to help you get there. And cleaning your own toilet is not going to be it. I can assure you of that.
Lindsay, do you think women should be compensated for doing domestic labor?
Hell yeah. I think, more importantly, I think I would love if society got to a place where domestic work, whether it's men or women doing it, I feel if we could get to a place where that was truly viewed as more equal, because right now it's just so undervalued. But I think as women, and I even think in a relationship, I think we can all see how important it is to the family and what the family is going, like what the family truly gets out of it. But in reality, you know, whoever is doing the domestic stuff is, it's taking away from other things. It's taking away from making money. It's taking away from building a career, learning new things, you know, upping your skills. And I think that as a couple, having really honest conversations about this and truly talking about those expectations, like if there are these unconscious expectations that are feeding into each other, I think just putting it all on the table and having a really, really straight upfront conversation is the best way to go about it.
Yes. But at the same time, I'm thinking, I mean, if it's one partner working full time, and let's say he's making $100,000 a year, he needs to support his young family, his partner, and let's say they have a child. They still are able to afford, you know, good groceries and going out for dinners, etc. Then is it fair to ask that partner to compensate you for the household work that you do, or no? Because if they're just trying to make ends meet,
Yeah. I think that's where, you know, having an agreement that if for some reason the real, like if you stay together with your partner for many, many, many years, I think it's sort of a moot point because you've built wealth together. You've done a lot of things together. Your kids are grown. But if you really think about it, whoever is doing more of the domestic stuff or staying at home with the kids for 5 years, you're never going to be able to really, like, you're always going to miss out on those years to build your career. If that is what we're really concerned about here, or, you know, if the relationship breaks down, then who's, you know, if the woman's going back to the workforce at 50,000, well, her husband, who was making 150 before, is still making 150, right? And like I said, spouse support or something will help to possibly equalize that a little bit, maybe. But I think having some form of like written agreement is the way to go, because that way it's not, quote, you know, affecting what you're currently doing as a couple right now, but it at least outlines that there is going to be this big discrepancy if the relationship breaks down when the kids are only 5-10 years old, or even worse, I guess, if a woman did stay home for, you know, 18 years. And a lot of times women will even do like bookkeeping and different things like this. So they'll actually be supporting their husband in some form, doing a lot of these other things that supports their work. And so I would say if you are supporting your husband's business in some way, make sure that you are, that you have equity in that business, make sure that you are getting paid by that company. Because again, if the relationship breaks down and you haven't worked and you don't have a T4, you can't get a mortgage, you can't get any sort of credit. So think about that. Think about keeping your credit, maintain your credit, make sure you have some form of income so that if something happens, you can still get lending, you can still do what you need to do, and you're not trying to rebuild your credit for 3 years after your relationship has ended. You could see how all that can be very problematic.
Oh yes, totally. I agree with you. And I think it's a very good point that you kind of concluded that whole topic in a way that it's very important to set the record straight from the very start as to what your aspirations are and be on the same page in that regard with your partner. And also, if right now, I mean, you're struggling with the income of one person supporting a young family, make sure that you have that agreement in place that accounts for financial, what's the right way? Support later on because of those years that you're investing into having a family. Lindsay, how can we get on the same page with our partners with regards to that division of domestic labor?
I think domestic labor falls into the same camp as money. It's still kind of a taboo topic. And I think why I really wanted to have this conversation about, you know, what is unpaid labor, what is, you know, emotional labor, is because whenever I ask somebody if they know what it is, they generally don't know what it is. Because it has just been such a normal part of, you know, our society, like our role as women, like our gender role, to take care of a lot of those things. And I think there's a ton of resentment that happens. So if you think, as a woman, if you think you're helping yourself or your relationship out by not speaking up, even though you can see very clearly that you're doing 70% of the household work, that resentment will just build. That's like that's like pushing all your problems under the rug, right? Eventually that rug is, you know, there's a lot of stuff under that rug and something's got to give. And so just keep that in mind, that if there is something there that you are not feeling is fair, or, you know, I say fair or equitable, because sometimes it'll never be fair, right? Like, unfortunately, sometimes it'll never feel totally fair, but having these really open conversations about, hey, look, you know, I know you're tired when you come home from work, but I'm also exhausted because of all the things I'm doing. And so how do we solve this problem together? Because I think if you're trying to have a happy marriage, happy relationship, you don't want your partner to be totally stressed out and exhausted. Like, you need to support each other and lean on each other in order to continuously try to make your household situation better.
Yes, I agree with you. Lindsay, I feel like you already shared so many tangible tips, and like, this episode is filled with golden nuggets of information, but do you have any final tips you want to leave our audience with?
Oh, you know, I have to leave some like money tips, I think, investing tips.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Number one, women, you have to save 15% of your income. And that's another thing. If you are in a relationship right now where you're stay at home, then that's another great way to ask for, hey, like, what is 15% of the household income right now? And I would like that to go into my RSPs or my tax-free savings account or in my name, period. That is something that women can do. I'm a huge advocate for compounding. So you got to start saving now. And by saving, I mean investing. Don't put it in a bank account. Please invest it and let that money compound for you over time. The sooner, the better.
I agree with you. Great tips. Lindsay, what is financial freedom to you?
Oh, it's such a good question. Financial freedom is being able to do whatever you want, whenever you want. And so if traveling is your ultimate dream, then that would be financial freedom, getting yourself to a place where you can go and travel and you're not having to report 9 to 5 anymore. But financial freedom, I know, means something different to everybody, but to me, it is choosing when to work. That is what I think financial freedom is.
And I love that sign in the back. It says, she's focused and intelligent. I love that. So what's your tip to women who want to achieve financial freedom? We said save 15% of your income, start investing. Is there anything else they can do?
Yes. Women need to ask for raises every 6 months. Women need to demand their time be valued for what it's actually worth, and stop saying sorry. And you can, I had someone say to me once, probably was a therapist of mine. And they said, you know, Lindsay, no is a complete sentence. Because as women, right? Isn't that so good? No is a complete sentence. And why I think that's so important is I always felt I needed to follow up my no with my reason why.
Yes.
But guess what? If it doesn't work for me and it's not in line with what I'm trying to achieve, what I want for my family, what is in line with my values, then how about just no, period.
Bring it on. I love that. I love this. I feel like we ended our conversation on such a powerful note. Thank you so much for joining us. And I honestly, sincerely enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate all the work you're doing for women.
Thank you all for tuning in today. As always, I want you to give yourself credit for showing up for yourself and your future, because every time you do that, you increase what's financially possible for you. You can find links to Lindsay's contact information in the episode description, and also make sure to either share this episode on your stories, on your social media, or leave us a 5-star rating and a review. All of this goes a long way to help us understand how this content resonates with you, helps us understand if you like the content we produce, and also helps us grow. I thank you all for your time, and I can't wait to see you next week.